began talking about the subject of Atzar Zehuvim and the chiyuv to compensate somebody for stealing their mitzvah. There's an interesting Rabbi Mihonis in the Neshita who writes, "Achotef mitzvah mechavero ha'oisek ba chayv l'shalim l'atzar zehuvim." It sounds a little bit like it's only if he's actually being oisek ba. If you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, though, and this is certainly the pashtus of our Gemara, it's lav dafka mitzvah oisek ba, but any mitzvah that you could do. V'chein hayru, the Rambam writes, kol hamonei abayla la'asos mitzvahs aseh shehin ru'uyin la'asosa. In other words, anything that you are roi la'asosa. Now we'll get into a moment how much schus do you need in the mitzvah. We talked yesterday about the parameters of this. What type of mitzvah are you actually going to be chayev for? We know that this halacha applies for kisui hadam. We also know that it applies for a shor homed lehariga, as well as an ilan ha'omid l'ktsitsa. So the mitzvah over there is going to be something like ubiyar tarame kirbecha or asiyas maka, like we discussed yesterday, the exact details of what the mitzvah is. But the pashtus, as we saw yesterday, was you do need some type of formal mitzvah. And like we said, there's a mitzvah saseh to get rid of damaging things. Now, you actually suggested a very interesting pshat yesterday, which is, you said, Ken Zayin, if you looked at, there's a very interesting stira, as it were, between the Rama, Rambam in Hilchos Chayvul Mazik, and the Rambam in Hilchos Ritzayach. The Rambam in Hilchos Ritzayach sounds like the mitzvah is dafka b'sekhanas maves. The Rambam over here in Chayvul Mazik implied that this is true even anytime it's a danger. So you could try to say, one is a little av dafka, but perhaps we could say a little differently, which is that actually it's pashut, like we said, you have to get rid of dangerous things, even if there's not a formal mitzvah. If there's a formal mitzvah, so say, doesn't apply here. Maybe not even the formal lav. You're not going to make a bracha, for example. What's pashat? Something you need to do. And that's enough to be chayev asar zehuvim. Now, one place where you might see this is in the Rama. The Rama, I'm not saying the Rama goes this far, but the Rama goes even further. The Rama writes, Ela kiktani pater b'shor ha'omed la'riga v'ilan ha'omed l'ktsitsa k'gain ilan ha'naita l'shos ha'rabim inami b'say chathei amal l'ir. So what is he talking about? An ilan that's within 25 amos of the city. So this is a reference to a gaman b'av basra daf chadalat amad beis marchikin asa ilan l'ir asa n'chamish ama. Why? The Gemara says over there, my taima amar ula mishum noyi ha'ir. We want the city to be a beautiful city. It's important to have nice-looking cities. People to have a chavas adas, not to live in an ugly place. Okay? I'm not going to say anything about those of us who live in the Heights. Anyway, and that's... So now, it's fascinating, right? Now, is it a mitzvah? What mitzvah would you put that under? So the answer is, it's a societal obligation. And... it's also the Bilam's obligation if, you know, he was the one who did it, it's his property or the like. So you don't necessarily, the Ramah is saying, need a formal mitzvah to have this halacha of Asara Zehuvim. Anything that the Torah mandates that you do, even if it's not a formal mitzvah, is enough. Now, possibly, that would be miyashid the stira and the Rambam that you raised yesterday between Chogal and Mazik. Even if, you know, I'm not saying it's going to go as far as the Ramah, that this would be true for Chafayama. Maybe it still has to be dangerous, even though it need not be life-threatening. So he might not be going as far as the Ramah. But Still, the point is that Hilchos Rotzeach is talking about one thing, the formal mitzvah of Makkah, and Lo Sasan Damim B'Vei Secha, and that mitzvah is said only when there's a Sakanas Maves. And then the broader din, which is discussed in Chovel Umazik.
And Rashi said maybe when Dafka B'Yis comes to Choshos?
Right, Rashi, exactly.
And a share retrieving, that's a totally different thing. But Rashi said,
you have to Rav Mekirvecha. Now there we could find a formal mitzvah if we wish to.
Right, so that's like a whole different discussion than here.
Yeah. I think it's sort of interesting that Rashi might give that first example because he's unsure, or you could question whether the second example would be sufficient to be chayav. Sorry, so that maybe it does need to be a little more formal.
Wouldn't you run into a problem by an Ashera that it would be hard to figure out who the mitzvah is misyaches to if it's also b'hanna?
So, a good question. So the pashtus is, we'll see a little bit more about this later, the answer is that if the Ashera, one interesting question, which we're going to get to in a couple of minutes, is it to be chayav asar zehuvim, is that only when the mitzvah is exclusively mine and you take away my mitzvah? Or is that even when it's a mitzvah upon everybody, but I have a certain type of schus, right? So that's an interesting question with respect to Asherah. In other words, when we say Rechayv and Asherah, is that because really everybody's got to get rid of this Asherah, but since it's on my property, it's it initially is my obligation, or no, it's exclusively my obligation because it's on my property. Okay, what's going to be if I don't fulfill my obligation? Then you could say, okay, well then maybe it's the societal responsibility to get rid of it. So we'll get that question. But as we talked about before, you know, it's very likely that even with Yisrei Hana, that doesn't totally negate the kasher to the Bailam. Okay. Well, we were arguing that maybe even according to the Ravid, who disagrees with the Ritva, certainly it's true for the Ritva states that explicitly, maybe even according to the Ravid. Now, once we're on the table, I'll just mention, right, in other words, that horror that we just said, in other words, who needs to be the Bible of the Mitzvahs, that's what that Rush is talking about. The Rush who explains that the reason, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, it's also quoted in our Tosfos, somebody who steals an aliyah for another person. So the reason why, the Rosh Chulin explains, why the person who steals the aliyah isn't chayav, is because the gabai doesn't really have bailus to give the aliyah to one person over the other person, such that it's his. Everybody is equally shayach to all the aliyahs. The gabbai is there just to make shalom because, you know, it would be pretty bad if, like, whoever wanted to go for an aliyah would do it. It would probably be a lot of machlokas. So we say, okay, you know, the gabbai is there to hand things out, keep the shalom. But if you call me up and the fill goes up, so even if he's not a kohen, right, I might not have that schus to say you stole my aliyah, because they'll say back to me, who made it yours? Just because Yoni called you up, you think he could give you the aliyah? It's my Torah as well. In other words, the fact that there's sort of this agreement that the gabbai has the ability to hand out the aliyahs is insufficient for this to be considered my mitzvah. And again, we'll get to that in a moment when we talk about the issue of the stealing of the bris milah and the difference between if the father's doing it or not. Now, what is the nature of this chiyuv mamon? Or is it a chiyuv mamon? Is it because he took away the schar? Is it because he caused the guy tsar because he lost out on the mitzvah? Is it a knas? The Gemara in Chulin seems to emphasize the schar component. Right? The Gemara there asks, "Yibaylo schar mitzvah, schar bracha," and the Gemara concludes Schar Bracha. The Rishonim understand that, even though that Gemara is said in a slightly different context of the very interesting story about Rebbe and the Min and the like, but that Gemara relates to our topic as well, that it's a reference, the 10 Zehuvim versus 40 Zehuvim is our Subya, and the point is that when the Gemara says it's Schar Bracha, so for Birkas HaMazon, at least in theory, would be 40 Zehuvim, the point is that it uses the term Schar, which implies that you're taking away the schar. We'll talk about in a moment what type of schar you're taking away. But the Rabbeinu Hananel, quoted by the Rashba, writes that it is a kanas. And specifically, with Gamaliel's case, is a kanas. You can't learn from there. Now, does that mean that any payment is begetter kanas, or that specific amount, the asar zehubim, which, as we noted yesterday, was an astronomical amount? Maybe that's the kanas. We'll get back to that in a moment when we do the Rif and the Rambam. But the way the Rashba presents it is sort of interesting, that he presents the machlokas between the Rif and the Rach as whether this is kanas or mamon. So seemingly, this is a very interesting question about the nature of this tefillah. Again, now still Rach, does Rach mean the entire thing is kanas? In other words, there's no monetary obligation whatsoever, or just no. Rabbi Gamliel's astronomical amount of Asar Zehuvim was a kanas, but the fact that there's some tefillah, so that's a machlokas, as we'll see, how to understand the Rach. But before we get to that machlokas between the Rach and the Rif, which I'd like to in one moment, it's interesting to note the Lashon of Rabbeinu Yohanan. Rabbeinu Yohanan writes that kanasa ba'almahu o takana ba'almahu kedei shiu mitzvos chavivos al ba'alehen. So he quotes two possibilities. Either it's a kanas or a takana. It's a takana. And what would the reason for this takana be? Because we want mitzvos to be preserved. You know, imagine what everybody's going to start saying when the guy, you stole this kisui hadam, which isn't even like, you know, seemingly such a big deal. Imagine the newspaper headline. You know, man obligated to pay $8 million, $80,000, $10,000, $5,000 for throwing dirt on somebody else's blood. Right? So, wow. So what's a nafkamina ben knasa l'takanta? The Rabbeinu Yonasan says, di'avei knasa moidu knas potter, v'takantahi, af al gab d'moidu shaloi machmas pachad eidu chay l'shalem. Meaning to say, either way, this, Rabbeinu Yonasan says, this is not normal choshen mishpat. Without some type of unique rabbinic monetary legislation, you would be potter. You're only chayev. I'm chayev if I steal something from you, if I punch you and I injure you. But just causing you, taking away your mitzvah, so even if it's really not very nice, it's not something that in and of itself would obligate a financial payment, that Rabbeinu Yonasan is something for granted. So it is a legislative act that makes this money obligatory. And the question is, what's the nature of the legislative act? And it could be two possibilities. It could be they made this as a takana, or they could they formulated it as a kenas. If it's a takana, so then it would be chayav, even if you're moda. Right? In other words, it's only mode with kanas potter. Whereas if they formulated it as a kanas, so if the guy ran to based it and was maidebo, he would get out of the asara zehuvim. Now, there is an interesting me'iri. A number of rishonim say we're not govet in chutzarts, among them are tosfos. And different formulations are given. Our Tosfos says you're not govin chutz laretz because there's no hefsid mamon, which indicates that he's not viewing this as a kenas. He's viewing this as a tashlumen, but there's a tashlumen without hefsid mamon, and as we saw from earlier, dayani chutz laretz aren't gove in chutz laretz. We only say shlichusayhu for things that are hefsid mamon. What? And shchiach. So apparently this is shchiach. Stealing people's aliyahs.
Isn't that the reason why kanas not has some mamon normally?
No, the pashtus is, as we saw earlier, that was a discussion, but the pashtus is that there's two dinim. One din is kanasais, and two is that they were only misakein shlichusayhu for when there's a hafsid mamon, even for things that aren't a kenas. Right.
Right.
Now, so again, you see in this sugya, Rishonim using both lashonos, which might reflect a machlokas about, again, this point that we said before, machlokas, whether this is a kenas or not. Either way, though, whether it's a kenas or it's not a kenas, we're not golden chutzlaretz. There is a Meiri, though, who writes over here that he thinks you are golden chutzlaretz. And he thinks this is the opinion, he quotes the, he thinks that this is actually the correct opinion. He might be sourcing himself elsewhere, but he does write it here. The question is, how could this be? How could this be that you're going chutz la'aretz? For sure there's no hafsid mamo, right? So I think you could say two answers. One possibility is that he holds like that Sadim Rabbeinu Yehonasan, that it's a takana, and maybe he's saying that the principle of that principle is only said with respect to mamon that you're chayav men hadin, but if they made a specific takana, then you are goveh. Alternatively, he writes.
Meaning, isn't that the same as just holding like Rabbeinu Yehonasan?
I'm just saying, one way to understand the Meiri. The question is, what's the Pshat Meiri? How could the Meiri say that you're going to chutz la'aretz? Right? So one possibility is it's takana. It doesn't sound that way. It sounds like it's possible. It's possible. Another possibility, maybe a little more radical. We'll see in a moment that Rav Asher Weiss has an interesting theory about this whole sugya, that the compensation isn't so much from taking away my mitzvah as much as taking away the inyan sguli of the mitzvah. What does that mean? It means that when I do a mitzvah, so I guess typically there's two things that happen. One is, you know, I have a chova to do the mitzvah, and I do the mitzvah. And then there's a second idea, which is that the person who does the mitzvah, so we assume, it's actually Parshas HaShavua, the Ramban in this week's Parsha, I believe, writes that every mitzvah, when you do it, so Hashem didn't just obligate the mitzvahs for no reason, it's because every mitzvah is l'tov lach, it's good for us, we gain, we benefit, there's some purpose in the mitzvah, whether it's a physical or more likely spiritual, there's a reason for it. And that is the Lamashal. Remember the Achronim write, they say, you know, they talk about, could you sell your schar for mitzvos? And they say that even if you can, at most you could sell the, there's like two aspects to the schar. There's like the external reward, and then there's the natural consequence of doing the mitzvah that the person gains. You can, if you could sell schar, transfer schar, it's only with respect to that. Anyway, that's what he says. So the point is, well, we'll see why that chiluk is very important. He uses that to be miyashe ve stir and rama. But could even be, one wonders, that maybe that could be grounds to be govel chutzlaretz. In other words, you have taken something away from me. Something almost tangible. It's not actual mamon, but it's a real hefsed. It's not even the, and that's what the tzviya here is, that if I would have done a mitzvah, I would have gotten a certain schar skuli, whatever that is. Now that's an interesting question, gets back to the discussion earlier when we say you need a hefsed mamon. Is it mamish mamon? If you hold it's mamish mamon and nothing else, then this answer won't help.
What?
If you imagine that, no, really, it's lav dafka hefsed mamon, but it's a tangible loss. You've taken away something tangible from me. Then maybe you could imagine what that's what the Meiri holds. I don't know.
The Gemara says mamon. Like, when does mamon mean some tangible thing which isn't mamon?
Can't think of another example other than this Meiri, right? The Meiri says you're golden chutzlaretz. In other words, the Meiri is saying,
so maybe he holds like a mini honus.
This is that's two possibilities. But he doesn't say anything about it being a takana. So the question is, what's the easier way to read this Miri? Now, this Miri is the Miri saying this is Schar Mamon, this is Hefsid Mamon, or not? Not clear. He writes that the reason why to say the other possibility is because the reason why he says you're chayv to pay in chutzlarts is because it's mamon velo knas. So that implies that the mechayev is that this is considered a hafsid mamon. See, the reason why he thinks you're chayv in chutzlarts is because it's mamon velo knas. He says, he doesn't say it's takana velo knas. So it doesn't sound like that.
I don't know. This doesn't sound like mamon either. Like,
that's for me to figure out. Right? What's the pshat ha'miri? You're just saying it's a mamon ha'miri.
We're not in touch with it intensively enough, maybe. Maybe it should be more tangible.
Even if it were more tangible, does that make it mamon, or does it just make it more tangible?
Mamon is a simon for tangibility. That's what you would have to say, I suppose. I don't know.
Feel in the air.
The, going back to that, Sugyan in Chulin, so the Taisvis asks over there in Chulin, why can't you just, give somebody another chicken to be mechasadam? Right? Why is Sarzuhuvim? Right? A chicken's a lot cheaper. So give him another chicken and he'll even get two brachos this way. Right? You only took away his, especially once we say that it's the schar bracha, so give him a chicken. So Tosis answers, "V'lo haya yachol liftor atzmo b'mesha haya nosim lo ofa acher l'shchot d'zayis mitzvah acheresi u'mitzvah rishona halchala v'adim uvas lo yuchal liskom." Meaning to say that a mitzvah is irreplaceable. So I can't say, well, I took away one mitzvah, I'll give you a different mitzvah. No. You gave me a different mitzvah. You took from me one mitzvah and you replaced it with a different mitzvah. So that's not a takana. So memela tzasar zuhuvim. And even if it's the same mitzvah, but it's on a different bird, it's not the same mitzvah. There's an interesting discussion here. I don't think we'll get into it, but if you look at the Lashonos from that story of Rabbeinu Tam, the guy who stole the Aliyah, why he doesn't have to pay or why he should pay, there's different Lashonos that might be interesting in terms of understanding the nature of Kriyas HaTorah. But our Tosfos, we'll just do our Tosfos. So, again, there was this story. Shiitin lo tarnagailas lishchot, tachas osam shte brachos. Good, you took away two brachos from me, so I'll give you a tarnagailas, two brachos to you. Vainerly, tamza, dimkein, lama chivu ragnom el sarzuvim. Now, it could be that this was Bictaris Pios. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam is not saying that this is the Ikar Hadin, as well. Read in a moment that Rabbeinu Tam Taka patered him for a number of reasons. But rather the pshat is that it's Bataris Pios, you took away two brachos for me, I'll give you two brachos to you. And that's why it continues. V'od patra Rabbeinu Tam Yishom Shiyane Amen V'gadol Ona Amen Yosef Menavarech. A very fascinating answer. Meaning to say, you can't really say you took somebody away from the Ola. Adarabba, you get, people like auction off Aliyahs and they spend a lot of money, hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars on Aliyah. They should auction off non-aliyahs because God of Amen, Hona Amen Yoser Amen Amevarich. So you get more. That's the point. That's the shot. Now we know why people pay all that money for aliyahs.
Here in Fort Lee, you're losing a lot of amens. Twice a day, you're losing amens.
That's true. It's mamish. If you actually look at the Taisus Rid over here, he says, "Well, we don't paskin that way. We don't paskin God of Hona Amen Yoser Amen Amevarich in terms of this shaila." And then he writes, like we said, "Va'oda Omer Rabbeinu Tam de Bavel Ein Dan Milsa de Les Bechsan Kiss Kedam Eliyahu." Now, and as I said here, the Rishonim add the point that even if, see, the Rid says that to explain why, I'll read it to you. Vamar Rabbeinu Tam, Af im hayinu dan in dine knasim zman hazeh, hayapater, im yesh lo tarnagolos leshchot, v'acha shechivu arba ne'ozuzet, shema lo haya rotz, lisa lo tarnagolos, ki rotz haya limsor, mitzvahs shchitel acher, right? V'yesh b'far shem shu pater, mishem shu yachol anus amin, v'amina gadol ha'u nevuchu evel av nilsi, de'kaim alan kirav de'palagal. So, I guess the people that spend all the money on the Elios must learn like they're it. And then again, there's this interesting discussion about what about the Kohen or the like. But I think let's say a little more focused. And let's look at the Rif and the Rambam. So take a look at the Rif. Take a look at the Rif. We'll read the Rif first and we'll read the Rambam. So, he quotes the whole story in the Gemara. Then he says, Ikka manda, this Lamed Beis and a Beis in Dabi Rif. Ikamanda Amar Hai de Chai Vera Lonely Allah Hai Gabra Sazu can say. The law Gamrina Mina Ladina Hina. He quotes this as an Ikamanda Amar. We'll call this the Rabbeinu Hanano. That's what the Rashba says is the Shita. So the Ikamanda Amar holds that Hai de Chavre de Chai Ve Asar Zuhuvim is a Kanas. The law Gamrina Mina. So this is a sui generis case. We don't extrapolate from this story of Gamliel to any other case. So now the Rif says, this doesn't make any sense. The kad ma'ainta b'gemara, lo ishkachas, my svara, disak adaita knasu dekanisharan shimon ben Gamliel, the lo garina mina, ledina achrina, amai kagamar mina, rav, Laditnan, Niti Osai Katsats, Data Marta Lila Katsatsan Pater, Deshamidamina, Taima de Amarachi, Halo Amarachi, Chaya, Elalav, Dinahu, the Gamrina Mine. This first opinion, this Ikaman de Amar, is totally wrong. It's totally against our Gemara. Because our Gemara states that we extrapolate from here to the case of somebody who has a taina that you chopped down my tree, and we say that the person who chopped down the tree is chayev, unless he says, well, you told me to do it, he's chayev. So you see, we learn from, we extrapolate from Gamliel to other cases. So what in the world does this Ikamanda Amar hold? So he rejects it. Okay, it's a good question. So when we read the Rif, we really don't understand that first opinion at all. Right? The Rif seems to ask a pircha. Look at the Rambam now. Rambam also seems to bring down these two views, but in a surprising way. This is Halacha Yigimel, we'll read first. Sure, Shahaya Omid Lariga, Mipnei Shu Mazik, Zabrios, V'ilan Shu Omid Laktzitza, Mipnei Shu Mazik, Zarabim. Like you pointed out yesterday, he just says mazik. V'kadam echad v'shachat shor zeh, v'katzatz ilan zeh, shalom idaz ba'ilam. Chayv l'shalom l'ba'ilam, kemo shiyiru hadayan, shaharei hifki'an milasais mitzvah. V'im tan amar, ata marta li lahargo, u l'katzatzo, ho'il v'hu omid l'kach, harei zeh pater. V'chein, Misha Shachat Chayo Oath, Uva Acher Bechisa Adam, Shalom Idas Hashachit, Chayo Litain Kemoshi Radayan. The Yesh Misha Haira Allah, Shehu No Sing, Kenas Kotsov, Behu Asar Zahubi. The Chain Horu, Shekola Monea, Bailam Lasa, Smitzvas, Asay, Shehain Ruuyin Lasosa, the Kadam Acher Vasa, Mishalam, Bailam Asar Zahubi. So who's the first opinion in a Rambam, the Stam opinion? Who's the second opinion? Which one is which? Are these the two opinions in the Rif?
No.
So there's three opinions now. There's the Ikamanda Amar in the Rif. There's the Rif. And which one, the Rif is what? Whose opinion is this in the Rambam? Is the Rambam quoting the Rif? There are four opinions, you're saying.
Well, it could be that...
So I think...
The Ikamanda Omer is like the Ikamanda Omer that the Rif quotes, but the Kamoshira the Yonim sounds like something very different. No?
So that's... So the answer, I think, is these are the same two opinions. And what the Rambam is doing is being Miyashev, the Ikamanda Omer, for the Rif's Kasha. In other words... The way the Rif seems to explain Nekamanda Omer is that that Farshita is unintelligible, right? Like he says, it's Mefarsh against our Gemara. And the Rambam is saying, you misunderstood that Nekamanda Omer. The Nekamanda Omer does not hold that this is a kenas lo gamina mine at all. Rather, the Nekamanda Omer holds that that number of Asar Zehuvim is a kenas. That astronomical amount, when Eliel says Asar Zehuvim, that was a kenas. We don't learn from there to everything else. What's the din by everything else? Kumosh, you are Asar Dayanim. How much do you pay? Always Asar Zehuvim for every single mitzvah, every single time? No. Kafi, Shiur Asar Dayanim. That's the halacha. How, just whatever, you know, whatever is appropriate, that's how much you pay. Okay, the Rambam doesn't give us guidance in terms of how to figure out Kamosh Yoroso Adiyanim. We'll return to that question in a moment. That is shot number one in the Rif. And then V'yeshmi Shahayra is who? Is the Rif. No, the Rif says it's a knas katzov v'wasar zuvin, meaning say under all circumstances in every single mitzvah you pay asar zuvin. In other words, the Rambam's machlokas, these two opinions, are do you pay that's the first opinion in a Rif. Again, might not be the way the Rif understood it, but that's the view he is citing, that the pshat is that Asar Zehuvim is a kenas, but Avadeh, that something has to be paid, that's what you do, and that's exactly what our Gemara is saying. We learn from Rav Gamliel that you have to pay. How much? How much would you have to pay for chopping down the guy's tree that's no-till or shesarabim? Kafish, Yerusha Adayanim. And the Rif says, no, it's a knas katzov, shalasar zuvim. Now, once again, I don't understand. But the Rif says it's momon, it's not knas, right? How come the Rambam is calling the Rif's view knas when the Rif calls that momon? So the answer is very simple. That knas katzov, the hu asar zuvim, in Rambam, doesn't mean it's pure knas. Let's remember where we had the same idea before in the Rambam and Hilchos Chovos Mubazek. The Rambam told us that when it comes to, for example, Boshes, so there are two methods of calculation. Normally, we say that Kolafi Amavajram is Bayesh, and sometimes, for certain amounts, they made what? A Knas Katzav, right? Those are all those numbers listed in the Mishnah. All those numbers listed in the Mishnah. Remember, we wondered about those numbers in the Mishnah, 400, 100 for all those things. What's the getter of those dinim? So we noted that the Ravid seems to understand that those are mamon, not knas, which is why he's very perplexed how he come up with the number. By the way, the Ravid on our sugya refers is lishitaso. We don't go into it now, but he's lishitaso about that point over here. Anyway, back to this. So the Rambam, though, said that those numbers, the 400, the 100, were basically a knas katzav. What does knas katzav mean? Does knas katzav mean that there's no mamon here whatsoever? No. In fact, there is boshes, right? And, in fact, the Rambam writes that the 400, the 100 includes also other forms of tashlum, like tzar. It just means that sometimes the chachamim went ahead, even though there's a chi of mamon, and they specified a specific amount regardless of the actual damaged experience. So whether he experienced really $400 of damage or $85 of damage, there's a knas katzav of $400. Knas, that's the way the Rambam's understanding the Rif over here. In other words, how could it be that you're always chayv asar zehuvim? That doesn't really make sense. Every mitzvah is asar zehuvim. Every single mitzvah, some mitzvahs are bigger, some mitzvahs are smaller. We should go ahead and look and figure out, you know, what's appropriate. How can we say every mitzvah is worth the exact einanu yodim matan schar until mitzvahs? So the pshat is, you're right, we're not really saying this mitzvah is worth 10 zilgim. It's a knas katzav. Knas katzav is what the Rambam says, is when the Chachamim go ahead and instead of saying the tashlumin for the chi of mamon is based off of the precise damage caused, instead they say it's a fixed fee. But fixed fee doesn't mean it's not, there's no mamon, there's no chi of mamon whatsoever. Sometimes kenas means that there is no chi of mamon and this is entirely a penalty. Sometimes, as you see in this case, the Rambam writes, that kenas means that the penalty is not commensurate with the damage, precisely. But it's not the same thing as saying it's pure kenas. So that seems to be what the Rambam, that's the Rambam's understanding of the riff is, that this is a kenas katzav. That's the way, and now you could go back and, so, you know, and even, you could wonder, even the first opinion, kafisha yuroso hadayanim, might not even mean that it's precisely commensurate, it just means it's not fixed each time. Because you can't really figure out what's commensurate. Just like we talked about the Rambam when he says that if you are mevayish the mevuze, you pay kafimash yuroso hadayanim, basically the same lashon. Right? When it's mechubad, it's the knas katzuv, and when it's a mevuzah, it's kfishur asadayana. Right? And we said that doesn't, also, that doesn't mean necessarily how much damage was experienced, because he's a mevuzah, he's not even makbid. Rather, it means as the dayanim see fit. And here, too, even the first opinion quoted by the Rambam might basically be saying that. The question is the payment here, either way, let's say it this way. Either way, this isn't really, the payment isn't commensurate with the value of the mitzvah. So the question is, how do the dayanim pass in these cases? Possibility A is kefimash yorsa dayanim. Possibility B is it's a knas katzav, always asar zehuvim, each and every case.
So the boshis of the Rambam, the ikar, what are the... But Iker, both opinions of Rambam, they're going to be what? With Rambam, is they both going to be a type of mamon?
Tashlumin? They both might include mamon, but what I'm saying is that even either the first opinion says we try to figure out what it's worth, and the second opinion just says knas katzav, or even the first opinion is not really, the dayanim aren't making a statement. When they paskin you, you have to pay $380. They're not making a statement of the value of the mitzvah, but kfimash yosa dayanim, the dayanim deem what's appropriate, and that's how much you pay.
So, how is it? How is that the opinion of the riff? Like, how are we saying that?
The first sheet, again, you could read it two ways. You could say that the Rambam's basically being miyashev that Ikaman Damar's view from the riff's shaila. There is this Ikaman Damar. The Ikaman Damar said the following, and now the kash is, what does he mean? The Ikaman D'Amar said, quote, now we use the Lashon of the Rif, the Ikaman D'Amar said, Hai d'chavim ring amliel, l'hai gavra sar zehuvim, k'naso d'kansina d'kanse, v'lo gamrinan mina l'dina achrina. Azei state. How did the Rif understand it? The Rif understood that when he said, loy gamrinan mina l'dina achrina means, you don't extrapolate from there that you have to pay a penalty for any other example of a stolen mitzvah. Says the Rif, if that's true, then it's wrong. It doesn't make sense. It's explicitly against the Gemara. Says the Rambam, I'm going to tell you what that means. When it says, that doesn't mean we don't learn that there's a payment in other cases. It means we don't learn asara zehuvim in other cases. So what is it? If it's not asara zehuvim, what is it? The Rambam tells you, I'll tell you what it is. It's kafimash yiroso adayanim. But it's not going to be asara zehuvim. So what is it? The dayanim will figure out in each and every case based off of the circumstances. And what's appropriate.
I mean, the Yesh Mishahori is really the sheep of the Rif.
The Yesh Mishahori is the Rif Shita, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yesh Mishahori is certainly the Rif Shita. And even though the Rif doesn't call it a Knas, he says it's not a Knas. That's what we're explaining. That Knas Katsuv doesn't mean... Knas Katsuv doesn't mean it's pure Knas. Knas Katsuv just means it's fixed. Like he called the 400 Zuz a Knas, right? And we know over there that 400 Zuz was not pure Knas, right? It could have been 70% Knas or 20% Knas or 5% Knas. It just means that it's Katsuv. That's what I thought. The Gra takes a similar approach, but a little different than what I'm saying. If you look at the Gra writes on the Kamosh Yiru v'chulei, these two views are cited in the Shulchan Aruch as well, in Shin Pei Beis Siv Aleph. It's also interesting because which view is the Rambam really accepting? Some of the Nosei Kelim think he's accepting the second view, but it might be that he's accepting the first view. Anyway, we'll leave that aside. So again, this is what the Rif says. Kamosh Yiru, Kein Kasav HaRif B'Shem Yesh Omrim. So first of all, the Gra is learning the way I said it, which is that Kamosh Yiru Sadayanim is that first opinion in the Rif. D'Knasahu, Lo Garina Minala Dina Chmina. Viksha Rif Alzeh Dim Kein. Hechigamar Rav Mina Sham. Ratzalomar Kamosh Kasav Sham. Amar Lei Dina V'Chule. So what's the answer? So the Rif, the Gra is getting even fancier than me. He's saying like this. He's referring to a Gemara later on, Da Kuf Yud Zayin. And the Gemara over there has a whole story. O Gavra, Da Achli, Acharya, Da Chiti, Da Bei Reish Gelusa, a whole story. And the Gemara says, Idina Gamina Mine, Iknasa Lai Gamina Mine. In other words, the Rif Shaila is even fancier than the way, you know, the simple reading of the Rif. Which is like this. What does the first opinion hold? So, the way we were reading it until now, the first opinion is basically, in the Rif, is totally unintelligible, right? It just simply doesn't even make sense, because, you know, like the Rif asks, our Gemara clearly learns from Rabbi Gamliel, and this Ikaman Damar says you can't learn from Rabbi Gamliel, right? So the way the Garden learns it is it's much more nuanced, actually. No. The Rif's asking a more chief shaila, which is that the Gemara has this principle that lo gamrina miknasos. In other words, the first opinion holds it's a kenas, and we're going to learn from one kenas to another kenas. In other words, we're able to extrapolate. And the Rif says no. The Gemara says e dina gamrina mine iknasa lo gamrina mine. Okay, now let's read on in the Gain. Afagav didachi le sham. So the Gemara over there in Kuf Yud Zayin actually questions that rule. It says, "Mina temra de miknasa lo gaminan," and it tries to prove this principle. Sover, meaning the Rif holds, didichuya hu. Those questions the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin asks are dichuyas. Meaning to say, we really do accept the rule of miknasa lo gamina. But then the Gaon continues, uplugta hu begitin nun beis medal. But actually, this question of whether we're gamina and medina miknasa or not is a machlokes and daf nun beis. There it's referring to a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether gamina miknasa. It's in the sugya of Hezek Shenu Nikur. And therefore, we might paskin like Rav, who holds that we do learn from Knas. So the Gra says, V'yesh lomar, de Rav, azel l'shitaso. In In other words, Rav over here is Lishitaso in Gittin. Because what does Rav write in Gittin? That Miknasa Gamrina. So what did Rav say over here? Right? Arho Gemara is who's talking? Rav. So Rav is of the opinion of Miknasa Lo Gamrina. In other words, the Rif's making a mistake. This is what the Yesh Omrim says. Yesh Omrim is very, very two steps ahead of the Rif. You're asking me, Akasha from Kuf Yud Zayin? This is Rav Lashitaso. Rav holds Miknasa Yalfina. And then, now the Rif's saying, oh, we don't paskin like that. And the stomach Rav's a libidilchazel. But the Yesh Misha Omrim, that's the way he holds. So therefore, the Gra writes, the Umiturz Kushis HaRif. Fine. The Lachain, says the Gain, Pirsh Rambam Kirav. What's the Ikar Psak of the Rambam like? Sounds like which view? His first view. Who's the first view? The sheet that the Rambam, that the Rif was Deicha. Why? Because we hold like Rav. And Gittin by Hesek Shenon Ikar. But the Gain says, even though that's the view of the Rambam, we probably don't pass in that way, because he writes Das. Rav Haigon, V'Ramban Ke'arif. Fine. So it's a tremendous, tremendous back and forth. So to summarize, we have, let's say, three ways to understand the Yesh Omrim and the Machlokas, between the Yesh Mish Omer and then the Rif's view, right? When you first read the Yesh Omrim in the Rif, doesn't sound like it's making any sense, because it's against the Mefurish Gemara, like the Rif asks. Because in our Gemara, clearly we learn from the story of Rambam Gamliel, and this Yesh Omrim seems to be saying, we can't learn anything from the story of Rambam Gamliel. So how do we explain the Yesh Omrim? So the pshat we wanted to say in Rambam was that we don't learn out Asar Zehuvim, but we learn out what? Kefi Shemash Yerusha Adayan. Whereas the way the Gaon is saying it is a little different. The pshat is that it's a kenas, and the machloikas is whether or not yalfinan mi kenas. Yeah.
What in the Rambam? I knew it works well to help the Rif, that you can wander in the Rif, but what in the first answer of the Rambam leads anyone to think that that's the first pshat in the Rif? Like, why that one over the second one?
Well, for two reasons. One is because he says asar zuvim katzel, which definitely seems to be the sheet of the Rif. Right? In other words, we could do a figured out by process of elimination if you wish.
No, the...
I'll just tell you the way my shot. This is the way I'm learning it. Let's leave out the... It's a little more... Maybe it's more medieval, but it's very complicated. Let's just say it the way I said it, which is a little simpler. Right? So the pshat is like this. How did I figure out this key? So I looked at the Rambam. First I was like, well, this is the opposite of the Rif. Right? This is... And I said, no, one second. The second opinion in the Rambam is clearly the view of the Rif. Right? You could be sure the Rambam is going to put the Rif somewhere. And we know that the second opinion corresponds to the Rif, because the Rif held it's always ten zehuvim, and that's the second view in the Rambam, that it's ten zehuvim. And moreover, the fact that the Rambam calls it a knas katzuv doesn't mean, you know, what's misleading, but what's initially confusing is that the word kanas, because that doesn't sound like the Rif, because the Rif says it's not a kanas, and the Rambam's calling the Rif's view kanas, right? It's not a kasha, because like we said, kanas katsov doesn't mean kanas. Kanas katsov means fixed amount, regardless of the level of damage. The payment is not commensurate to the damage. It doesn't mean kanas in the sense of kanas, but not mamon. So now, we've clearly lined up opinion two in the Rambam with opinion two in the Rif, Rif's view. Now let's go back to look at opinion number one in the Rambam. And when you think about it, opinion number one in the Rambam really does correspond with the first view in the Rif, the Ikamand Amar, just addressing the Rif's taina on that view. So what's the answer to the Rif's shaila? So I said it one way, and the Gra said it, same type of idea, just even a lot fancier, which is, I would just say, oh, the first opinion holds that lo yalfinan minei means for this specific amount. And that's also what the Gra is saying. The Gra is just saying that, I just stopped there, and the Gra is saying, ah, not only that, but this is Meduyuk, and the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin, and the Gemara in Gittin, and the like.
Doesn't the Rif quote it? The Rif says the Loga Mina Mine. That's the first opinion that he quotes.
Yeah, that's the commandant.
So did he say that the commandant of Loga Mina Mine?
Yeah, the Rif's lesson was like this.
So how can that be Ra that you learn from Kamasos?
Oh, because he disagrees. He says that the Rif's, again, this is the way the Gra's reading it, is like this. The Rif thinks the conclusion of the Gemara is, in Kuf Yud Zayin, is Loga Mina Mine. We don't learn. And that's why this opinion is, that is, and therefore, since you're going to say it's a kanas, if you're going to say it's a kanas, then it would be lo gamina mine, and therefore, what is Rav doing? And therefore, this Ikaman Damer is wrong. And now, says the Goyim, but I'll tell you, he's not wrong, he's right. He just thinks it's Rav l'shitasa.
I mean, the Ikaman Damer says, he says the words lo gamina mine.
Right.
So that's going according to Rav or Shmuel.
That is, I think even the Gra's reading it like me also. Lo gamrinan mine in that line means we don't learn the amount, right? We don't learn the amount.
Why not?
Why not? Because that was a specific knas. We're not going to learn our ten zehupin. But now, says the Rif, if you're going to say that's the pshat, so we shouldn't learn anything.
And the answer is no, that we do
and
learn
the answer is
us.
We do learn from
so why can't you learn from the tens of them also?
So you could. But the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says it makes sense that we'll learn out that the knas will be in each place like the Dayanim think is appropriate.
So you're not the ikka penalty, but not the number.
Right. That's the way I think it comes out from the Gra. Okay.
The Gra is quoted on the bottom if you're interested.
Now, an interesting ha'ara, and that might also come out, is like this. She really should have mentioned it earlier. But are you only chayav? If what type of mitzvah asay are you chayav in to pay the money, the asar zubin? So maybe it's only when. Is it any time it's a konvasei or only if it's a mitzvah sasei, like let's say maka? So the sma over here says something interesting. He writes, "Avol nasnu lo bema lishchot u'ba'achem shachta pater." If I go ahead, somebody jumps the gun and shechts, then you're pater. Why? Why? Shani mitzvah de mitzvah vinu la sais if you're going kizu yadam. Lach shachad yashar li patim in a kizu. Dafka kanzina, ma shen ken shchita. Di loy ratza lach ol basar shen amachoy lashchot. In other words, this principle only applies for a mitzvah chiyuvi, not a mitzvah kiyumi. Is that because there's less char, or we don't know you're going to do it, or no, that you can't say you took away something from me that I might not have done anyway, right? So this brings us back to that discussion that we had at the beginning, which is the dafka mitzvah she'osek bo, or even any mitzvah that I could have done, right? Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Rush on our sugya. So the Rush on our sugya addresses the same discussion that Tosfos has, it's Rosh Chulin, it's on our sugya, that the same discussion as Tosfos in our sugya about the guy who steals the Aliyah. And then he writes like this. Fascinating. What happens if somebody tries to steal a bris milah? Right, I told you, you know, if you're an aspiring moel, nobody ever lets you practice. So this guy decided to take matters into his own hands, and he didn't wait to be asked. So, question is, does he have to pass our zehuva? Might be worthwhile, you know. But anyway, the question is, does he have to pass our zehuva? So says the Tosfos, says the Rosh, it depends if the father was going to do the milah or not. V'lav hanach taimi de Rabbeinu Tam nirali liftor hamo'el. I think, besides the rushes, the reasons of Rabbeinu Tam, like the fact that it's Simchot Slaaretz, and I think you could pater for to pater them all anyway. Da'afa pishamer ha'av l'mo'el echad l'amu'el espinol. Lo zacha be'osa ha'mitzvah l'chayev acher im kadem v'asal. Even though the Rav appointed, the father appointed the mo'el, the mo'el wasn't truly zaycha in the mitzvah. V'lo damia l'kisui, d'amra taiva v'shach l'chisa misha shafach kisa. When it comes to kisui adam, the Torah designated the mitzvah kisui adam to one person in particular. Who? The shofech, the sheichet. Ma she'en kein, over here. V'chein ha'av shechayev lomu l'sbeno v'ratza l'mula v'kodem acher v'chiyah. If the father was going to do the mitzvah smila, so then the Torah was mechayev the father, so somebody steals it from the father, v'adadei v'chayev asarzuva to the father. But the mohel was not obligated specifically by the Torah to do this bris milah. And even though the father appointed him, the father's appointment does not give him that exclusive zchus. And memela, when a guy takes it from the mohel, he's not going to be chayev. Now, we have to think about this for a moment before we read the line, next line in the Rush, very important. But where you could have made the case that the thief should be chayev to the mohel, and you could have made the case that the thief should be chayev to the father, and the Rush says he's chayev to neither. You could have said that he's chayev to the father because there's shlichos for milah. This is, in fact, a machlokes rishonim. The Ramah holds that there is shlichos for milah. A number of rishonim, like the Orz Aruah, hold there's no shlichos for milah. And we'll have to figure out what the Rush holds over here. Because the Ramah paskins like this Rush, so the Ramah apparently wasn't reading the Rush as assuming that there's no shlichos for milah. So you could have said that you still have to pay. You should have to pay a sarzuvim to the father. You took away his milah mitzvah. Why? Because if the mo'el would have done it, the mo'el was the shaliach, right? Before I made a bris, I told the mo'el, I hereby appoint you my shaliach, right? And I was certainly hoping that by appointing him my shaliach, I got the mitzvah. Gevaldik. So, if somebody else would have jumped in, someone who I didn't appoint, he would have stolen a mitzvah from who? From me. Because, so, you might have said that the thief should be chayev to pay the father. Says the Rush, no. You might have said that the thief should be chayev to pay the mohel, because when the mohel does the milah, he's getting a mitzvah. Right? That was taken away from him. Baruch Hashem, we have the Mo'alim in Washington Heights, the Katzenstein's Shlita, so they don't charge anything. They've never charged for bris milah in their life. They ask you to give a donation to Breuers, and they only do that because Breuers has no money, and they're in charge of Breuers, but also because the other Mo'alim were complaining that everybody would go to them because they don't charge. So they say, why don't they? Because if you ask them why don't they charge, they'll say, because it's a mitzvah. We don't charge for mitzvahs. So you took away the mitzvah from the Maya. Right? You took away his mitzvah. Mr. Katzenstein would be very upset. No. So listen. Aval. So why are you pater? Aval im ein ha'av rotza lamulo. Ko yisroel chayav in lamulo. Since the Av is in Chayav, call Yisrael is Chayav. And what's that referring to? It's the Gemara in Kiddushin. Right? The Gemara says that the father's Chayav, if the father doesn't do it, Beis Din is Chayav. If Beis Din doesn't do it, then when the kid becomes a Gadol, he has to do it. Now, first of all, you see he's taking a stance that when it says Beis Din, it means call Yisrael. Why does it say Beis Din? It means Beis Din is the representatives of Kal Yisrael, meaning, say, when there's an obligation on the tzibur as a whole, Beis Din must take responsibility to make sure it's done. So the mitzvah's on Kal Yisrael. This agav, we're not going to get into it now, happens to be a big machlokas and kiddushin over there, machlokas rishonim, how to understand it. Is it a mitzvah on based in, or is it a mitzvah of Klal Yisrael? There's some interesting nafkaminas, like who makes the bracha of Lachniso Bevriso Shel Avram Avinu, an event that the based in is doing this. I once had the shaila. I was once a situation where I was the rabbi, and it was a very sad situation. It was a case where the kid was born to a non-Jewish father, the mother was Jewish. So who's going to make the bracha of Lachniso? So obviously it's not the father. So there's a shaila, who makes it? Is it the tzaddik? Because he's the Baal Bris, so he's doing the Achnas al Bris. Or is it the Avestin? Because who's Chayev? Avestin. So he's the one who's being Machnas. He's being Omed Mukom. So I happen to be the tzaddik and the Avestin, so I got to make the bracha Mimana Shach. Interesting. Choose from Kivager about that shaila. But I also did the naming, which is also an interesting shaila, because you can't say like Kayemis Yalad Hazel Aviv Ulimo, he doesn't have a father. And when you do Ben, you can't do the father's name either. So, but anyway, that's a different story. I said, Kayemis Yalad Hazel Imo? Luckily the father didn't understand Hebrew, so he wasn't offended. I don't think anyone there understood Hebrew. We didn't have a minion. It was, anyway, a very sad situation. But, be that as it may, back to here. So first of all, he's saying that Klal Yisrael's chayev. Klal Yisrael's chayev. And therefore, Memela, what's the pshat? You're not taking it from me. Or just like Rabbeinu Tam said, when Phil steals my aliyah, I have no taina against Phil. Why? Because it's his aliyah as much as it's my aliyah. Right? Yoni, the Gabbai, does not have bilus to give the aliyah to me. So he took what's his. So now, when the guy steals from the Moel, he's not stealing from the Moel, because it's as much the Moel's as it is the thief's. So Mimela, your potter, uva dibur shamar ha'av le Moel, loy zachal a mitzvah l'chayev l'acher im kadmo. That's like the father asking the Moel to do it is like the Gabbai calling me up for the Aliyah. So I don't have enough of a zchus due to the father's appointment to be mechayev the other guy, asar zehuvim, for pay. The Rosh doesn't even talk about it. He has no tzad that you're chayev to the father. It's all clear is whether you're chayev to the Moel, and he says no. So what's the pshat in this Rosh? So the easiest way to read the Rosh is that the Rosh is saying two chidushim. Chiddush number one is that there's no shlichus. He doesn't hold like the Ramah, he holds like the Or Zeruah, a number of other Rishonim possibly, it's Mitzvah Shebegufo perhaps, the Rid's Shita, that there's no shlichus or Mitzvah Shebegufo. It happens to be the Rid himself holds, would disagree with this, because the Rid holds that the Mitzvah Mila is a Saskos B'mila, it's not... The mitzvah upon the father isn't to circumcise the child. It's to make sure that this child is circumcised. Of course, the best way to do that is if you can do it yourself. But if you can't do it yourself, you ask somebody else, it's still mila mitzvah yidei av, right? So, the Rosh doesn't hold like the Rid, because the Rosh holds that once the father's not doing it, it's chal on klal Yisrael. In other words, it's begeder the second tier. Right? It's not true for the Rid. For the Rid, as long as the father is being misasik, is making sure it's done, so then it's still begeder mitzvah ah. So anyway, so point number, but as I say, he sort of accepts the Rid that if lu yitzuyer, the Rid would agree that if it was a mitzvah on the father, shlichos wouldn't work. That's what the Rid says, right? And that's what the Rosh is accepting, that point. So therefore, there's no zichur, you're not chayv to the father, because you're not taking anything away from him anyway, because once he decided not to do the meal himself, it's no longer his. Shlichus doesn't make it his. That's chiddush number one the Rosh is assuming, and chiddush number two the Rosh is assuming, is that since it's not the father's anymore. It's not the Moel's either. The father doesn't even have the ability to be miyached the Moel. in a way that excludes all others to the point that you'd be chayv asar zuvim. Again, obviously, we're not going to say that like he did the right thing. It's still not a nice thing to do, but lo zachal mitzvah l'chayv achim kadma. So that's the simple read of the Rush.
So every time nowadays you put the will, you vatal mitzvah asay.
So now, if we go ahead and we look at the Shach over here, the Shach, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes this Rush. The Ramah actually quotes it from Rabbi Yerucham, but it's the same Psak as the Rush. Is there a difference? Is an interesting question. We'll assume for now there isn't. Now, just to Ha'ara first of all, if this is the psak, pshat in the Rush, there's a stira in the Ramah, because the Ramah, as we said in the Darkei Moshe Paskin, said there is shlichus, and the Rush here is assuming there's no shlichus. There's also a stira in the Ktzais. This is a, won't get into too many details. Tyler showed this to me. Because the Rush in the Darim Daf, Ayin Beis on the base, dons about whether you could be Mona Shaliach Lahafei Nidre Ishto. And the Rush writes that the Halo Shmiele, meaning to say the Baal didn't hear the Nader so that it could do Hafara. The Shmias Apotropos, but one second, he didn't, maybe Shani didn't hear it. He appointed somebody else to be Mayfair. So Shmias Apotropos, Eina Kishmias Abal, Baafal Pisha Sao Shaliach Lahafair. To be mediated mele lo shayach minui shlichos. You can't have minui shlichos on mediated mele. In other words, hearing is passive. So the husband can't appoint a shaliach to hear the neder, only to annul the neder, but not to hear it because it's passive. The Ktzais learns that's against the rid in terms of the idea of shlichos not working on Mitzvah Shebegufo, and that would be an issue. But we'll leave that aside. That's a little bit more complicated than we need to go. Now, so, but either way, there's a steer in Ramah. Now, the Shach says something interesting over here. So the Shach writes like this. A very long shach. We'll just do a little part of it. If you want to know, it's Sifkat and Dalet. Umedivei Rashi Vesi, Muchach, Demi Shehu Mohel, Eino Rishai Litein as Bino Lacher Lamoala. Someone who knows that to do Mila may not give somebody else to do the Mila. V'chayvu Ba'atzma Lamoala, Demi Dekizwe, Demi Sheshafachu Yechase, just like we say by Kizwe Adam. Pchein mashma to be a Rambam, and really the Gemara in Kiddushin. Da'amin an hasa ma'afchad b'vno, lamulo minalan dechsevi yamal avram yitzchak b'no, v'echdelo ma'alei avua, so then mechayev b'edino ma'alei. Ksavti zeh. So why did I write this? Not because I want people who don't know how to do a bris milah to do a bris milah, but rather, l'fisha reisi kama nashim mechavdim l'cherim lomul. They actually know how to do a bris milah. Used to be, it seems like a lot of people know how to do bris milas. People were more handy, I guess. It wasn't so complicated. They didn't have guards in those days. Anyway, they're more comfortable around blood, I guess. The ledati he mevatlin mitzvah sa'asei. Mitzvah gedoyla shel mila. Mila, we know, it's a tremendous mitzvah. Yud gemol brisos. V'yesh levestim levatel adav chazeh. Beistin shud. Shrai. We hereby prohibit anybody from giving away, being mechavet other people a meal if they know how to do it themselves. Azeizat the shach. So, what does this mean? So the way the Beis HaLevi reads it is exactly the way you said it. Which is, look, there's multiple mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah on the father, that's one pasuk. There's a mitzvah on based, and that's another pasuk. The Rosh is saying that if the father didn't do the milah, so, okay, you're mevatel that mitzvah. If you don't know how to, obviously we're not going to tell you to do the milah if you don't know how to. So it's, you're mevatel the mitzvah, the onus, we don't have tainus against you, but you're takam mevatel the mitzvah. And now, when the moral does it, it's a new mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah based in. That's the way the Beis Halevi reads this shach, which would be very sad indeed, because it means that anyone who, you know, again, we're not going to practically recommend anyone doing milah if they don't know how to do it, but it would mean, you know, that nobody who's using a moel is being mekayim in the mitzvah of milah. Again, according to other Rishonim, you would be. Like we said, according to the Ritten, Machor Zeruah, the mitzvah is hisaskos. According to the Ram, there are a number of Rishonim Kiddushin who sound like, since it's not a mitzvah on yourself anyway, then shlichus could work. Because shlichus only doesn't work for a mitzvah when it's a mitzvah shebegufo, like a tefillah. But anyway, but at least according to this Rush and the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach, then we lose out. It's possible to say that...
Yeah, but I don't know what to do about. It's like...
I agree. I didn't know also, it was... I didn't know you were here.
Oh, yeah,
So I didn't know it was the fire... They told me it was a fire alarm. But there was like a code.
You know, it works?
I didn't know, but I called everybody. Nobody knows about it. I opened the box, it says, to silence it, put this code. To the line. How can you study with this noise?
I didn't hear anything.
I was getting crazy with the noise. Okay.
So,
almost finished.
So, what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Is there another possible way to read this Rush in a way that's not like the Ketzos? Right, like we said, the Ketzos basically lines up a whole bunch of shittos that he thinks are against the Ramah, who holds that shlichus doesn't work. Among them, this Rush and other Rishonim. So, is there a way to be miyashiv? So, could be that the pshat is that actually shlichus does work, like the Ramah says. This is the way the Minchas Asher answers the question. But even though shlichus works, you still are not chayv asar zehuvim. Why? Because even if we're going to say you took away his kiyum mitzvah, the asar zehuvim aren't for the kiyum of the mitzvah, but they're for the schar of the mitzvah, the schar skuli, what you would have gotten. And the father anyway wasn't going to get this. Why wasn't the schar father going to get this? Because he wasn't going to do it himself. And even if he would have been yotze the mitzvah yidei shlichos, but still he's not getting the schar skuli. So that's one way to be miyashiv the Ramah. And that would be very nice for us, because then we could say that we get the mitzvah yidei shlichos. It's possible to perhaps say even simple. No, not, you know, you could argue this doesn't make any sense. But to say that even if you didn't hold that there's shlichus, even if you hold that there is no shlichus, it's still not the same as, the Rush isn't saying that it's not the mitzvah of the father anymore. We're out of time, so I don't want to think about it a little more. Take a look at the Ketzos also. It's also very long. We'll have to stop. So, Bezus Hashem, tomorrow. So, again, I think what we're going to do is everybody will probably finish the parak tomorrow or so. And we should start Chazar and Seder. And we'll keep on having Shir until probably we won't get to, in terms of Shir, we won't get till the end of the parak, till the end of the week.